another episode of Behind the Vinyl, Behind the Vinyl with Darren and Nicholas.
Alrighty, Joachim, welcome to Behind the Vinyl, finally.
Thank you very much.
We had Oscar on the other day.
We did, yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he told us a great story about a Kiss convention with Vinnie Vincent, where Vinnie Vincent was making an appearance.
Yeah, he was there. It was a convention about him from, it must have been 96, because I lived in Stockholm. I moved to Stockholm in 96, so 96 or 97.
Well, you joined Hammerfall in 96, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it must have been before that. You were playing a song there, and Oscar was fire breathing. He got up and did some fire breathing. You remember that? That's a very blank look.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this must have been not in Stockholm.
No,
it was in Gothenburg.
It must have been at the White Corner in Gothenburg. Yeah, was this from the Kissing Time tribute?
Might have been.
Yeah, they put out like a tribute album maybe in 95 or early 96. And I was on that album together with a band called Mrs. Hippie.
All right, okay,
yeah.
I think maybe we did that song.
Yeah.
And Oscar. Yeah, I joined Hammerfall, and this was maybe in like, was it? Like August, or was it? Yeah, doesn't matter. But yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I can't remember he was up on stage fire breathing.
He told us yesterday.
I asked him any pictures, and like, no, and not that I know of, but there has to be some pictures out there. But
who actually brought a camera?
No, that's what he said as well.
Yeah. This was way before the cell phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Bring a camera. I used to forever get thrown out of concerts and,
For taking pictures.
Yeah. I used to be able to, this is pretty embarrassing for my manlyhood, but I used to be able to fit a camera down the front of my pants.
All right, yeah.
And bring it in. And
I thought you had like a fanny pack or...
No.
Like a bergslung, how we call it?
I'm not that cool.
Not that cool.
No.
Anders, all of us had that. Johansson, when he was with Hammerfall, he always had that. Like a fanny pack.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
But they're back in fashion, so...
So my mum tells me.
I'm going to call Anders now. Anders, you're in fashion now.
It's finally come around.
At age 57.
Yes. Yes.
So this week, man, Live Against the World is out. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Here we are on a Tuesday and it's out.
It's Wednesdays.
It's let me check the watch. It's Tuesday.
It was yesterday.
This is going out in next week.
Doesn't matter.
Right. There you go. Good point. There we go. Busted. So obviously it's not live.
Yeah.
So there you go. People out there.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
So Live Against the World, you know, it looks fucking amazing. This is the first time I've seen it today.
The Gayfall, as I said before this, it's got that Alive 2 feeling Kiss. There's a lot of fire.
It is. And also the actual artwork. I think that, you know, this album is considered being like a true release. This is not just a live album you put out there because you can and you kind of have to. No. I think the way we saw it, we are treating this the same way Maiden did with Live After Death.
Yeah.
They put on a proper album artwork.
Sure.
That actually made that album like a type,
It's
a classic. It's a classic.
Yeah. Artworks.
It is. It is. And that's kind of the way we kind of felt with this too.
Yep. Now this is magical. Obviously it was recorded in February, so the intention was to do this long before. It's definitely not something you just rushed out because of the pandemic or anything like that.
We had a direct line to Wuhan in China and they said, no, something wicked coming your way, record the fucking show. No, this was a planned way ahead, and the plan was to release this in September already, just before we were going to North America to tour.
Oh.
So we're supposed to be in North America now on tour.
Right, yeah.
But apparently we're not. And so this was kind of a way to support that tour and also to be able to sell this, the Blu-ray, at the shows so people could see what Hammerfall is all about on a big stage with the full production.
Yep.
And also a way to showcase Hammerfall, you know, as a more like an arena band compared to what we're doing in the US, where we're more of a club band.
Yeah.
Yeah, the production on this is just ridiculous, you know?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So since we've disclosed the fact that we're doing it early, we got a screening tomorrow. So mm-hmm. you're going to see it for the first time ever on a big screen. How do you feel about that?
It's going to be awesome. I haven't watched this since we last time I saw this. It was still with the time code.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah. And I was watching in my computer, and I kind of took away the sound because I only went for the visual parts.
Oh. All right.
And then I closed the computer and I told Oscar, I will never watch this again in my whole life. I hated that so much. No, you get tired after a while.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah.
And we worked for months
yeah.
getting all the edits, the cutting, to, you know,
yeah.
to work properly. Because the first cut when we got off stage, we got like we had like two buses outside the arena
right.
In Ludwigsburg.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were doing like on
editing,
real time.
Okay.
And it felt like someone, it was like 1 hour and 45 minutes of like an MTV video.
All right.
Like, right. What the hell's going on? Like strobe. It felt like a strobe.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Like, no, this sucks. I don't want to have this. Oh, it's modern. Like, I don't care. You know, yeah. I'm not modern anymore. I'm old fashioned. We want to have a little more something to, for the eye to, you know, relax, to kind of to, if someone is playing a guitar solo, let him play the guitar solo.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to see the bass player during the guitar solo. And absolutely, if I see myself during a guitar solo, something is wrong.
Right.
No, so I'm really anxious and really psyched to be able to see this on a big screen, you know, with blasting audio at the BOEO. That's going to be awesome.
Down south of the hole, contemplating and embracing hope for. Never forgive, never forget. Never forgive, never forget. Never forgive, never forget. Never forgive, never forget.
Modern often is like it puts a time, like a time level to it, you know?
Sure.
Like when you, if you do something modern, you know, you're kind of catching up with trends. I'm thinking of Metallica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they do Saint Anger. They do it modern with the times with no guitar solos and it right. becomes very dated.
Really. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, yeah.
Go back to the 90s when CGI started to happen mm-hmm. in the movie and look at Batman. Whatever sure. Batman yeah, yeah. was like yeah, yeah. 94.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't actually it you can't destroy watch it. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember because I remember when Terminator came out, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and I loved that movie. And I remember seeing it at the movies and you were just like, ooh, the special effects were just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it, I mean, several times since then. But then just about a year ago, I sat down and watched it again and was just like, really wasn't that good.
No, leave it alone. Like we were talking about before yes, we started yeah. to record this. Like
exactly. Yeah.
Some albums, some movies, and some books.
Yeah.
Just
leave it alone.
If you have a good feeling about it, like, yeah, yeah I love that.
That's
same
true.
Thing if you have like an old girlfriend from high school.
True.
Do not look her up on Facebook.
Unpleasant surprise.
Yes. Maybe for her. I don't know. Yeah,
exactly.
Wise words. Well, to counteract that, I once sent a couple of photos to my mother of people I went to school with, you know, and my mother said, oh, you, because she would give me shit about how I haven't aged so well. She was like, well, maybe you haven't aged so badly after all, you know, when you yeah. see some of these people.
I mean, some people already when I turn 40, they look like my mom's age.
Oh, yeah, yeah definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So it's
absolutely.
I'm not going to complain about my gray, like the gray beard and all that. It's just
character building.
Yeah,
it is. But I don't like the fact that people give up.
No.
You kind of feel, okay, now I'm 45. Ah, it doesn't. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Like, that's the worst thing you can say.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you always, you know, fight for something or strive after something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But do you think that has something to do with the, you know, the fact that you're in music? You know, you're in. It's you know, you're not living the bank lifestyle or the, you know, something like that. It's
maybe because you still have to sell the same product year after year, and there's a new generation of possible potential fans yeah. out there.
Yeah.
And if I would be, you know, fat, old, fat, and ugly, what teenager would want to listen to that or watch a video with yeah. like five fat and ugly guys?
Yeah.
Guys, old men.
Yes. Yes.
Old geezers.
Yeah. 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 True.
So you need to, you know, take care of yourself and age, try and age with some sort of grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which... Oh, I'm so not there. I'm just getting fatter and more tired.
Well, you're making us look better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, sure.
It is time to cool down with some blood bound people. Coming on a hero, I'm
But in saying that, coming full circle, this feels like the band is just running on possibly the best I've ever been. You know, this performance is fucking amazing.
Thank you.
I have to say the production
is
killer.
Yeah.
So I listened to it today and going through it, and it's just like the sound is crystal clear, and it just sounds amazing.
It's so absolutely energetic, amazing. I would say,
yeah,
also.
It is.
And this is like a one take. I mean, I have a couple of my favorite live albums. Like, there are like songs from 85 to 89.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
On the same album. But this is like a one take live show.
Yeah.
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 We put all the eggs in the same basket here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
If it would have turned out horrible, okay, it's a waste of money. But we are so confident in what we are doing.
Yeah.
So as long as the camera team is doing what they're doing, we're fine.
Right, yep. Yeah.
And then Pontus did an amazing job mixing this.
Right.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did. Yeah, yeah. Like your name drop Live After Death from Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's clearly a couple of shows.
I didn't know back then.
No, nobody.
No.
That's the thing.
You didn't really read the fight. You read... Which is really weird. You read the fine print on everyone who was name dropped in there, and everyone who was thanked, mm-hmm. and
but that was all.
But I never clicked on. You know,
no, but that same thing with like later on with live albums, like with Kiss Alive, both Alive and Alive 2. I mean, I think it was early 90s was the first couple of times where you actually read that they're all kind of fake. And like the audience, the sound of the audience on the live one is kind of looped over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a live two consists of stuff they did on soundcheck. There are songs they never played live. So they recorded in the studio and added the audience and all that.
Mm.
But you never knew. It says recorded during 3 nights at LA Forum. That, you know, that was it. Of course it was.
Yeah.
You never knew. So
as long as, well, and if you like it, if you enjoy it, who cares?
Exactly.
It's like Judas
sure.
Priest, Unleashing These.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a great live album.
Oh, yeah.
but when did that Unleashed in the Studio, as it's referred to, when did that really come to light? When did people start realizing that or talking about that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No.
Same thing with Tin Lizzy's Live and Dangerous.
Live and Dangerous.
And I remember asking...
Scott?
No, Brian Robertson, I think.
Oh, right, okay, yep.
About that. But he was like, I don't remember. He said that, that's all bullshit, that it's fake and all that. You know, I have no memories of doing like, you know, maybe something with the guitar or something like that, but nothing later on. I remember Scott Gorham telling me a funny story about there's a David Bowie album called David Bowie Live, I think. And I think Tony Visconti produced that one or whatever it was. And he said that, yeah, you know, there's seagulls on it. There is? Yes. So the audience is mixed up with the sounds of seagulls, whatever, to make it more like, you know,
bigger,
powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. And
next live is going to be recording Gothenburg because of the seagulls.
Exactly. No, but it was so, I think it was so different back then that you... you never knew. And what the hell? I still think, you know, a live album like Alive 2 is phenomenal because it, you know, it gives you that that feeling of a big show, a great show, and, you know.
But for us, at least for me, I want to have like a one show, because when you listen to the beginning of the show, there's kind of the quality of my voice is different than at the end of the show for the reason that I've been working so fucking hard
absolutely
from the beginning to the end, and I want people to be part of that journey to be part of that experience. I don't want that all of a sudden my voice is crystal clear and sharp and not sharp like that, but I mean really razor sharp at the end of the show. That's the first three songs and then you're with me on the journey.
Of course.
You know, I'm getting more tired, but still, I'm not losing focus.
Yeah.
It's just that the sound quality of my voice changes as we go.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, we could have probably, made a live album with, one song from Ludwigsburg, two songs from Switzerland, one from Hungary.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't make sense on the Blu-ray, on the visual,
no,
because we can't really film every show.
No. Yep.
So maybe it was easier back then before they, you know, also started to film.
Yeah,
then you can't really fix that.
No. I think fans were a little bit forgiving back then, back in the 80s and 90s. Fans were a little bit more forgiving in regards to, they didn't care so much. They just wanted that feeling.
But also I think it's different today, because back then, if you found out that something wasn't what it was supposed to be, you told your friend and it stopped there.
Yep.
Now it's on, you know.
They're sitting, okay, someone was filming the same show with like a cell phone.
Exactly.
They're comparing that sound to this sound.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, at least when they compare this, I didn't fix anything.
No.
The vocals are there. Yeah. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Then, of course, maybe if it's slightly off-tune somewhere, that's something that could be fixed in the studio, of course.
Yeah.
But no, everything I did on stage in Ludwigsburg is on there.
Killer.
That's great.
Crying for a savior that's known for us.
how did you pick that city? I mean, is that a, I don't know, is that a stronghold, has always been?
Yes.
For Hammerfall?
It's the Stuttgart area, and that's, I mean, that's the Nuclear Blast territory.
Yep.
It's always been really good for Hammerfall. Yeah. We did so many shows at in Rockfabrik,
like right,
this classic place in Ludwigsburg. Yep. And then we did in Stuttgart, we did in Filderstadt, all in the same area. So we had two options. We could either do it in Ludwigsburg or in Forum Karlin in Prague.
Mm.
But since the shape of the arena is more arena shape with lektare, whatever you call that in English, I don't know.
Like stands?
No, this, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looked more like a real big arena.
Right.
We decided to do it there. And this was the biggest show of the whole tour.
Right.
Yeah. And it was easier also to work with the German company. It was easier for them to make it happen in like the pre-production and all that.
Right.
In Ludwigsburg, so.
Cool.
You talked about your voice changing throughout the show. Is that something you take into consideration with your set list? Because this is a long set. This is 20 songs.
I know.
Spanning.
It's Oscar's fault.
What do you got, 11 records? This is literally spanning. You're covering all those records.
Yeah, and six songs off the new album.
Yeah.
Six songs opening with the new song.
Yeah.
Opening with the new.
I think that really proves that the strength of the Dominion album. And also that Hammerfall is a band that you can still rely on, you know, releasing albums that make sense still.
Yeah.
We don't, maybe it's going to end up one day you're going to release an album just to be able to go on tour. But let's talk about that later.
Yeah.
No, you want to start off with something up-tempo, something new and fresh, of course. And then you need to add songs that would please the diehard fans. They want to hear the hit songs.
Yeah.
Then you need to, you know, add the songs that you want to play yourself that gives you the energy and the extra boost on stage.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the surprise elements.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Hearts on Fire.
Yeah.
And by the end of the set, I'm kind of tired. I just let the people do the singing. And, you know, it doesn't really matter how it sounds. People are just so happy to... that it's the last song so they can go home.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, playing live, and also you've been doing it for so long, and are there songs that you, well, there must be songs that you kind of feel like, oh, I have to do this one again? Or is it all, always?
Well, maybe I react that, but not because of... For that reason, maybe there are songs that I think is kind of a little bit tricky to sing or actually don't really move me that much anymore.
Right.
But that more for personal reasons, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we played, it would be like if Deep Purple would complain about Smoke on the Water.
Sure.
I mean, if you hate playing it, just look up and look at the faces of the fans, the reaction you will get with the second you started playing the riff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing for us with Hearts on Fire.
Yeah.
You know, people go crazy.
Yeah. I've mentioned that to someone before, but at least you wrote it with the intention of it, like.
At least we wrote it.
At least you wrote it. Could you imagine if you didn't write it? Could you imagine some of these bands that are following trends or. You know, that has success of songs that they didn't like in the first place.
Right.
And they were just forced for whatever reason. Could you imagine playing those songs 20 years later when you've hated them since day one? That's a tough gig.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I'm really proud of everything we've done so far. But of course, there are songs that are maybe not as good as other songs that people still like.
Right.
And some songs that are maybe written in a key that was kind of challenging in the first place when I was already 30.
Yeah.
And now I'm 50.
Yep.
So it's a little bit more challenging now.
Yeah. How do you find that now? How do you find that, you know, getting, I think being a singer, you're kind of a little bit more, you know, at the mercy of these songs now rather than a guitar player or you know, or a bass player or something. How do you find hitting some of those notes?
It's, since I'm in a better place now compared to 20 years ago.
You're healthier.
I'm healthier. Yeah. I'm, you know, in better shape. My stamina, everything is
I so wish I could say that.
It's
As you sip on a beer.
Exactly.
Yeah. The third beer.
Yeah, the third beer.
The exactly. third beer. I'm on my second glass of water. Yeah, that's why I can still sing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm drinking water. No, you need to listen to your body. And I think I was a little more anxious 20 years ago. I was more thinking too much. Oh, I didn't really dare to really belt it out.
Right. Yeah.
Now I just go on stage because I trust in myself and I know I have a good technique and I take care of myself. And as long as I keep on, you know, exercising, running, I mean, the pulse is so, my resting pulse is so low.
Right.
That means that I can headbang on stage and kind of sing at the same time because it goes down right away.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows where I'm at in 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
As a singer, I mean, this will eventually, it will happen. Mm. If you, I mean, it's no, you know, like we talked earlier,
yeah.
There's no secret about, you know, Paul Stanley's
yep.
vocal shape. It's not really there anymore.
No.
And, well, it sounds good now.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in 10 years? I don't know.
No.
But what would you have said 10 years ago? You would have probably said the same. Well, we'll see how it is in 10 years. We're actually...
Yeah, but I made a decision like 6 years ago that when I saw my friends turning 45, like, okay, big bellies, pretty bad shape,
yeah.
like that. No, I'm not going to end up like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give myself the best treat ever. I'm going to try and age with some grace and dignity. Yeah. I'm going to take care of myself. So I'm started to run, eat properly, eat vegetarian.
Yeah.
And what happened? Everything just, the kilos just fell off like I was in the shower, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. And your performance is better.
Absolutely.
Your performance is
better. Yeah.
You know this one? I want to see some serious headbanging, my friends. We all going to wake up with Slayer next tomorrow morning. We'll be right back.
albums. There was a pretty cool feature in Sweden Rock Magazine last month. Yeah, where you picked five live albums, I think it was. Yep. Just want to run through those a little bit with you and what a live album meant to you back then growing up. What did a live album mean to you back then?
I've never been a big fan of live albums, but I think since I grew up in a small city, Mora in Sweden,
yep.
I didn't really get the chance to see any live shows up there.
No.
So this was a way to get a live experience without being there.
Yep.
And I think for Judas Priest, especially, that album kind of made some of the older songs really come alive.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe these songs didn't really fly on the studio albums.
Right.
But here, at least, and even though it wasn't live.
Well, are you talking Unleashed in the East?
Unleashed in the East.
Right. All right, because you actually didn't you pick Judas Priest live?
No.
Oh, you picked Unleashed in the East.
I did pick Unleashed in the East.
We talked about it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. So, I mean, this was a chance at least for me to experience something live.
Yeah.
But live, to me, later on, when I started to, I mean, my first show, really big show, was Monsters of Rock. In
1984, yeah,
with Motley, Van Halen, and AC/DC,
nuts.
I remember,
yeah.
the Motley show being amazing, fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. Right.
Then I heard a bootleg from it, and like, no, this can't be the same show. No, unfortunately, it was.
Yeah.
So, I want to experience live. I want to be there. I want to be in the middle of the audience. I want to stand there. I want to sing along.
Yeah.
Then I never want to hear the show again.
Yeah.
Because if I listen back to it, I'm going to hear all the mistakes.
Sure.
Yep.
And like, oh, shit. And they're going to take away all the the magic that actually happened there.
Yeah.
It's just like going back Googling an old girlfriend from high school. Same thing.
Well, you got different senses. There's different things when you go and see, you know, you got the euphoria for seeing your favorite band. You've got the adrenaline, you know, you got the energy of the crowd, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, and especially bootlegs, you don't know where they're recording it.
No,
you know?
Jesus they Christ, could be, it could be anything.
All the way up the back.
Exactly. And it's also the same thing of if you're, let's say you're going to, you're going on a hike,
yep.
And in front of you is the most beautiful scenery that you've ever seen in your whole life. And what do? Instead of just enjoying the moment and telling people about this, you bring your camera, a phone, you start taking pictures, and all of a sudden the magical thing is gone.
Yep.
So I think it's better to talk about it, tell people about it.
Yeah.
And if I would show you the pictures, like, okay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
but you know what? Well, this doesn't really show how beautiful it was. Like, okay, don't show me the picture.
Right.
Tell me.
Try and tell me about it. Describe it.
Yeah.
That's the way I want to have a live performance, like a live show that I experienced. I witnessed David Bowie 95 maybe. Outside tour, he was under a table on stage singing The Man Who Sold the World.
Oh, man.
Oh my God. Do I want to see it again? Well, no, because I have such a good memory from it.
Yeah.
I will always have it inside me.
Yeah.
And when I'm thinking about it, oh my God. And I don't have to convince anyone else. I'm just telling you, you know what? If you didn't see the show, you missed something.
Right. Yeah.
So good. And stop there.
What was the next show you saw after Monsters of Rock?
Then I saw more or less everything that came to Gothenburg.
Been everything passed through Gothenburg. That's
Dio with Queenstrike opening up.
Ooh, okay.
I think that was the next one.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I had tickets to Wasp at the Mud Club in Gothenburg.
Oh,
but I was a swimmer back then, and I had to go on a competition.
Oof.
So I didn't make it back in time.
Wow.
So the ticket I had, but never saw the show.
Man.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
Me too.
Wasp in 1984.
It's kind of a show maybe I should tell people, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We always have those shows where there was like 20 people or 30 people there, but if everyone who said they were there, you know, there'd be like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
That's like Woodstock. I remember like reading way back that they did, I think it was Newsweek or whatever, they did like a survey or a poll about people being at Woodstock. And there were 300,000 people, but they did a poll that showed like 4 million Americans had been there. So, yeah, it is what it is. I am the one who lost control. But in the end, I'll be the
another one, Love After Death. Again, you talked about that. Mm-hmm. How does Iron Maiden fit in with you in your musical?
Iron Maiden was always a big part of my life, I would say. I loved the way they, I mean, they inspired me and inspired Hammerfall more than you would probably think when it comes to artwork.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
stage and all that, you know, stage props, kind of the way they did their stage productions. At an early stage, both me and Oscar said we wanted to have like a character, a mascot that would follow us, just like they have Eddie, we have Hector. And they, also the way they're doing this kind of theatrical type of live shows, that's also something that I really, you know, got inspired from. Musically, I wouldn't say Maiden is one of the main bands in you know, in the how would you say the I'm losing energy
of the shaping of you guys.
Yes, exactly. I think there are other bands that are more important to us, like Accept, for instance, like Judas Priest, more straightforward. Because Maiden sometimes, I mean, they have long songs. That's not really something that. I don't know. I would rather go toward Priest, Accept, and that school than go towards Maiden. But still, Maiden is so important for the whole heavy metal genre.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny how important Maiden are for you, you're saying, for not just the music, you know? Like you said, the artwork and all that kind of stuff. That's
the whole concept.
Yeah, the whole concept. Yeah.
And also that you can be five guys smiling. And having fun on stage. Because Oscar, people say, why are you smiling on set? Why are you so happy all the time? Well, look at the guys in Maiden. They were smiling. And they could pose in, well, we would never do that. But like, okay, let's do it. We need a band photo for the next album. Okay. Stage clothes? Nah. This works. You know?
Yeah, Dave Murray. Dave Murray was always smiling. Yannick Gears these days.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Always smiling on stage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember Dave Murray. I don't know if he's divorced these days, but, and I've said this before, that there was a big spread in OK Magazine when he got married. I think it was in Hawaii or something. And his wife looked exactly like Dave Murray.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a spitting image. It was like, wow.
Interesting.
They could have been brothers and sisters. It was really weird.
Let's not go there.
No, it was really weird. Really weird.
Yeah.
For the last time, let the fucking hammer!
Point on
Saxon was another band that I think you had on that list as well.
Yeah, I mean, Saxon was the first metal album I heard was Accept Breaker, but the first album I ever bought was Saxon, Strong Arm of the Law.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I also ordered like a poster from some mail order company in Sweden, and that was Saxon Live with the Eagle.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
This was must have been around the time they released the Eagle Has Landed.
Right. Yeah.
And same thing there. I was still living up in Mora, and I listened to this, and it sounded so massive with the audience and the, I mean, when the songs kind of came alive.
Yeah.
And with Saxon, I would say he's one of the singers nowadays that also age with grace.
Absolutely.
I think he's a better singer now than he was when he was, you know, at his peak.
Biff is doing good.
Biff is obviously had a little bit of a health scare recently.
Yep.
But even after that, age-wise, he's getting a little bit older and he's looking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking amazing. He's singing amazing. It goes back to what you said. You look after yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really showing for him as well.
Yeah. So, definitely.
Yeah.
The Eagle Has Landed. The
Eagle Has Landed.
Yeah. But maybe I lost track of Saxon after, I mean, The Power and the Glory. From then on, it kind of, they went away doing things that I found other bands to follow.
Yeah. But then Saxon was my first show, 85. Innocence is No Excuse in Lund.
With Primates?
Because they never had support acts in Lund for some reason. So they only played in Gothenburg. And, which actually, the Gothenburg show turned 35 day before yesterday, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had a party at home. I didn't go to see the show, but I had like a school magazine. I wrote a review.
Oh,
whoa.
I did, but didn't go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what did you give it? Killer.
No, I just...
this is five.
I remember
out of
that
five.
I read some reviews from the show, and Biff had a new leather jacket on. He kind of showed off to the audience, and I kind of made a focus on his new leather jacket.
All right.
Oh, I love that.
But I was kind of the guy who went for the support acts.
Right.
I mean, for Dio, hey, Queen Strike.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Warning Tour.
Jeff Tate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Killer.
Even Dio would have been great then.
Oh, anyway. Hell yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was. But still, that was the surprise element. Okay, Dio is coming on tour. Who's the support act?
Right.
Yeah.
And can you imagine when Maiden came and had Halloween as support act?
Yep.
I left after Halloween. I might have a date or something, you know, because I was kind of all dressed up to go to a party.
That's right. Hardcore.
Say, guys, I'm leaving now. What? Well, if you leave now, you can't come back, the security said.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
That's great. Have you ever played with Maiden?
Festivals.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, festivals.
Okay. Obviously, Halloween you played with.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I would say Gamma Ray, which is even sometimes better.
Right. Okay. Right.
No, yeah. I mean, I love Halloween with Kai Hansen.
Right, yeah.
That's my Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think when Gamma Ray put out Land of the Free, that was kind of the follow-up to Walls of Jericho in my books.
Yep.
Huh.
Very cool.
All right.
Just clicking through these albums, Marillion was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about Marillion. I'm not that...
I mean, same with Maiden. Look at the artwork.
The Thieving Magpie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that
recorded
for
five years out of, you know, one song from here, one from there.
Yeah.
That's weird. No, Marillion is, I love the artwork. Fantastic. Just sit there and look for hours at the amazing artwork.
Yes.
And also this type of music, the kind of symphonic, kind of early Genesis.
I
discovered Genesis through Marillion, not the other way around.
Right.
Okay. No, me too, kind of. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When I went to the U.S. to study at Musicians Institute, I didn't go there to sing metal. I did go there to kind of explore my vocal abilities and capabilities.
Yep.
I did two metal songs in like 12 months. But then I was totally, totally into Marillion. So I formed a band there and we covered like 5-6 Marillion songs.
Oh, right.
But not only from the Fish era. But also from
Steve Hogarth.
Yeah, Steve Hogarth.
Oh.
So I was never really a big fan of Steve Hogarth.
No,
maybe the first and the second album. Yeah. Then I kind of lost track, and I was more into Fish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because the first Fish solo album,
yep.
Vigil in the Wilderness of Mirrors. Exactly.
Right. Yes, yes.
Wow. Yep. What an album.
Yep.
What an album. Yep. I met Fish at Sweden Rock a couple of years ago.
Oh, I met him too.
He's a big boy.
He's a tall guy.
He is a big boy. He looks like the guy Knut from Galenskaparna off the shave. Or the other way around. I'm not really sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to work at Rock City. Rock City, there's a venue downstairs. It used to be called the Rig of Rock City. And it's a really short roof. So that would be open on Mondays and Tuesdays and also for smaller bands. And Fish played there. Fish solo played there, and he literally was hitting the roof with his head. It's that small with the stage.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He's a
he is a big boy.
Yes.
But Marillion is an interesting band. I love the Fish era, and as you, not too fond of the Hogarth era. But it's just like two completely different bands. Now they're more into, you know, it's more like, I don't know. I think I bought one of the later albums, and I actually liked that one. But it's more, I don't know if artsy fartsy is the word for it, but it's more sounds and it just completely different band.
Yeah,
completely different.
I mean, it's the same thing if you compare Van Halen and Van Hagar.
Yes,
it's the same thing there.
Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that anything is bad. You know, bad, but I mean, it's just different.
Yep,
it is.
And Fish was such a. As a frontman,
yeah.
The way he's the expression, same as like David Lee Roth, maybe not the best singer at all times,
no,
but he had something. Yeah, he was unique.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, and I went up to Fish and I tried to say something, and then he kind of answered me back in his Scottish accent, like, say what? Come again? But then I was invited up on stage. I saw the show from the side, from side
oh,
stage.
Nice.
Ooh, and great. That felt... Look at me. Hey, my friend singing. We like this. No, so it's a very important band to me, I would say. And when I came back from the US, since there were no metal bands to play with, I started singing in this art rock band.
Right.
And we did like Genesis covers.
Oh.
Early Genesis, Selling England by the Pound era, like Firth of Fifth and all that.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was really into that for a while.
Cool.
Are you still here? Do you want to have one more song? Oh yeah, for this one I want to see all your fists up in the air just like this.
let's sidetrack a little bit. Going through school, or you know, in your teenage years, when you started to get into metal, what was it like? Did you have a lot of friends into it as well? Or?
I mean, back then, this was the big metal was the big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, on TV, you had like shows showing videos, yep. And it was like Helix, it was Twisted Sister,
absolutely.
You know, so that was the big thing, and I think I was the person that people were hanging with because I was collecting vinyls.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And if anyone needed something, I had it. You know.
Yeah.
Can you record this can you tape this for me? Oh, of course.
You remember those days where you'd tape it for all your friends?
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were like the focal point. You were the one that that was steering it all. I think Oscar said the same, right? That he.
Yes.
Was, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's but that was all the money I had. I spent on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I was hanging every. I mean, if I had some time to spare before I went to swim practice, you know, I went to the record store just to check if they had, okay, what's new?
Yeah.
And I listened to it like, okay, cool. Okay. Wish list. Put it on the wish list.
Yeah. That's great.
That's different times.
Different times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids aren't into it. You know, one of my kids is into it, but it's in a totally different way, you know?
Yeah. My youngest, she's 15. She went up to the attic because I had some vinyl up there and I got vinyl in a storage somewhere. And she asked me, can I pick some vinyls? You know, sure, but you know.
For what?
Exactly. But she just.
Yeah, I'm going to make a fruit bowl.
No, nothing like that. She liked the covers and she wanted to put them like in frames like you do these days. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, that's pretty cool. So, you know.
Did you ever do that at school? Did you make a fruit bowl out of vinyls?
No,
never.
I would never do that. No. Never. I wouldn't allow it.
No.
Yeah, we used to, that was one of the things you did at our school.
Okay.
You'd kind of, there was this mold and you'd heat up the vinyl and the mold would come down. And
right.
And it'd be this, you know, kind of, it'd come up like a bowl.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
sure, yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't, no, I wouldn't do that.
No.
You've seen this Narcos? On Netflix?
Never seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Me neither.
No, oh, actually. You haven't seen it. There's a bar in Narcos 2 with the Rodriguez brothers hanging in Cali.
Okay.
And they have like a decoration with vinyls hanging. It's really, really cool.
Okay, that's true.
So I was there last year. Yeah, with me, Oscar, and what was it? With David Frederick.
Okay.
With my friend. We went up to the bar.
Oh, it
looks exactly. So they recorded, they filmed on location in this bar with the vinyls hanging.
Nice.
Yeah.
I used to have a few, like growing up in Australia in the summertime, you know, if you left the vinyl in the car, it would warp so easy. You know, especially it was really thin vinyls back then.
Yep.
It wasn't the nice 180s as you got here.
Mm-hmm. I have an album like that still. I it was on my turntable. And somehow the sun was kind of
hitting,
you know,
right,
melting it, and it became like that. You can still listen to it.
All right, okay,
it's UFO, cool. No heavy petting.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah,
that's a great album.
Yeah,
but that's another thing. We've talked about this before. That like back in those days, you bought an album, and that album stayed on the turntable for like, you know, 5 weeks.
Mm. You digested
exactly. You know, really listen to it. You really
from
listen
the beginning
to, it.
To the end. Yeah. From the beginning to the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your whole listening experience was different. You sat in front of the speakers.
Yeah.
You read every every note, every word.
Yeah.
On the, you know, you studied the artwork.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden. You looked for Derek Riggs's, you know, signature. Like it was a completely different experience. You know.
Yes. You read the lyrics over and over and over again. Exactly. And if you had like, I think accepted that like on the inner sleeve, like a collage of photos.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's Udo. Oh, that's this guy.
Oh,
who's that?
Yeah.
Oh, who's this dude?
Yep.
You know.
I spent hours with Van Halen's Diver Down because they have there's a bunch of pictures on that one on the inner sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at who's that and you recognize someone. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
They're having a party. And, you know.
And who the hell is Deffy? Who the hell is Deffy? Yeah. And then when Udo told me, like, hey, it's Wolf's wife. Like, what? Gabby Hoffman? Like, is that Deffy? Yeah. Okay.
I remember the day when the winter came. soil of our fathers. Now lay down your guns, raise your hammers high. Together we are one. A true life we're fighting for, cause this ain't no dying illusion. A call from the grave, but things are eternal. In the lands of forgiveness we carry.
Why, like with your album now, and looking at the vinyl, it's you know, that's what you want to do, and vinyl is so much more fun in that way. Still to this day, like playing the album and you're just sitting there, looking at the album, looking at the pictures, the live pictures, the inner sleeves. And
this is something the kids are missing out.
Yeah.
Because they don't listen. They listen to on Spotify. They just listen to the music. And they, I mean, the way we were kind of examining the artwork and all that, they are online doing that on like TikTok and doing their thing.
Yep.
What's even more scary is that, you know, radio stations are editing songs as well. You know, so not only are the kids, you know, they got TikTok and they got all this kind of stuff. So they're only listening to 20 seconds, 30 seconds of a song.
Yeah.
Or radio stations are editing songs down that are 2 minutes long, editing down to like a minute and 20 and stuff like that. It's crazy.
And when we started back in the late 90s, especially around the time of Renegade, you know, oh, you have to cut the song at 3 minutes, like 3:30 tops.
Yeah.
Like, no, the song is 4:40. Yeah, but we have to make radio edits. No, the song is supposed to be 4 minutes and 20 minutes seconds long.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
If they want to fade it, let them fade.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're not going to start doing edits.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, I've actually noticed that listening to the radio. Yeah. I noticed it this summer.
Yeah.
Especially one song that I heard a couple of times, just like,
that's you're still good. Young. I listen to P1. Talk radio.
You know,
there's no music.
I do that as well, but
there's no music.
I listen to one at a commercial station, and I actually I just realized that because I know that song so well. It's just like, the chorus doesn't, you know, this is not the chorus. It's not supposed to come now. No, there's supposed to be a solo there or something. And I heard it. I thought, okay, maybe they used a, they cut it down for commercials or whatever. But then I heard it like a couple of days later. It's the same thing. It's like, okay, so that's the way to do it now. Okay, interesting.
Hmm.
I've never heard that before. So, well.
It's crazy.
I don't listen to radio like that anymore.
No.
It's like I said, talk radio.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but radio was way more important, like, again, in the 80s when you had those special like heavy metal shows
in the
for an
80s.
Hour. Yeah, but you really, that was like the only way to find out about new releases and hear new releases and maybe hear an interview.
Or bugging the local record store like I did.
Yeah.
I used to have a little pack where they just used to put stuff.
Yeah.
For me to go through every week.
That's why I can't really find any good music, new music, because I'm not really sure where to look.
No, true. Yep. True.
Like release radar, like where's the metal stuff?
Yeah.
Like, and if I go to metal, it's usually it's more of the modern aggressive stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, where's the melodic?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's with in the rock section. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we need tastemakers. You know, we were talking about this to someone the other day. We need tastemakers. We need people that'll guide us, you know.
Yeah.
So it's important. Let's kind of bring it towards the end a little bit, but let's just talk about Renegade 20 years. How do you feel about that? You know, your name dropped, you talked Van Halen,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're talking bands that have relatively short careers, you know?
Yeah.
Van Halen.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
That's a short career.
Yeah.
That's a really short career.
The Beatles.
Sure. What are they, 6 years?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Now you got a record. You guys have been around for 25 years.
Go back
years.
6 years. That's a revolution. It's kind of revolution being the first album. Hey guys, that's it. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And amazing. How long was the Udo Accept?
Ooh, I don't know really when that was. But then he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't away for that many years.
No.
He did like 2 or 3 solo albums.
Yeah.
They did the album with David Reese. Then he came back for Predator or Death Row?
Oh,
Predator, maybe. I don't know. Either one.
But how do you feel about that? Renegade being 25 years. 20 years. You being 25 years in the band. How does that feel?
It feels unreal in a certain way. That time do fly.
Yep.
And you
young
should,
and vibrant.
Yeah, but it also means that you should treasure every single moment. And if you have a family, if you have kids, hey, hug your kid because they're going to grow up and they're going to all of a sudden they're going to fly away. They have their own life.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't really care about you that much anymore.
No.
Like, shit, it's scary. No, it's like Renegade, especially in Sweden, it meant so much. It was like a door opener and a game changer in so many ways.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden heavy metal were number one on the charts.
Right.
Album charts, the video charts. We did the second video, and that became number one on the Vox Pop thing. I remember doing an interview together with Bruce Dickinson at Grand Hotel, and Jörgen Holmstedt asked, okay, what advice can you give Hammerfall now? Well, I don't have to give them any advice at all. They're number one on the video chart, number one on the album chart. What can I say? You know? Yeah. No, even, you know, I'm really proud about the that we're still around.
Yeah. Yep.
They were a band that still makes a difference. If we release an album, people listen to the album.
Yep.
They come to the shows because we want to hear songs off the latest release.
Yep.
Yep.
And I think we're very fortunate. I wouldn't say lucky because it doesn't have anything to do with luck.
No.
So,
well, look at Dominion. You know, it's you know, massively successful record.
Yeah.
You know. Number two behind in today's climate, number one rock record, number one vinyl record, et cetera. It just shows the strength of Hammerfall 25 years later. It's
good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also now that we had our ups and downs, but who would know that in the year 2020 that we're maybe not even on the peak yet, but we've never been as big as we are today.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is, the peak is a little higher.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time. Congratulations on the album being out.
Thank you.
New album.
Thank you very much.
Live Against the World. Good talking to you.
Well, thank you. My pleasure being here.
Cool.
Honor, dudes, guys.